Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to watch on ye old Bravo. Happy almost Halloween. I tried to get into a costume because it's Crappens Live and all I could find was a prop. It's a Love Island drinky poo thing. And joining me on this Halloween day is the one and the only very furry and adorable Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Hi.
Hi, you got little bunny ears on, which is adorable. I got Love Island. Love Island. It's just beautiful. Beautiful. This is actually given to me by, she's not a Sheila, she's a Daniela. So here's how I'm representing. I'm just like a Love Island contestant, okay? It's still early days in this podcast. And I just was wondering if I could pull you for a chat, Ronnie. And maybe like we could discuss things. And I don't know, I just want to get to know you some more.
I don't know why you would put anything Love Island based to your lips, but hey, you suck. Suck what you wanna, Ben. Okay.
Yeah, I will. I will. Thank you, Daniel.
Who am I to judge you out loud? Okay.
I'm sorry. I couldn't find any of my Halloween costumes. I do have some. I have some lemons over there. I could be Shannon Bedore. I don't have anything that I can wear though. I just have props.
You're the prop Halloween guy.
Yeah.
I like that. I think that's a good costume. Hi, I'm a prop Halloween guy. You could just be different people every few minutes.
I could be Carl.
Well, everybody, it's Halloween time, which means it's the one day of the year everybody is going to be eating like me for a day. So, yay, Milky Ways for breakfast.
Yay. It's a spooky time of year, and why not do something really spooky like bring Southern Charm back? Okay, and that's what we'll be talking about. Before we get into that, though, it is a Crappens On Demand episode, so check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/watchforcrappens to watch us. And also, in case you missed the news earlier this week, we are doing a big live show virtually on November 12th to recap the series premiere of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We have booked a special guest, and we're not saying who it is.
But you never know when they're going to cancel on our ass. Okay, we've learned our lesson with that one.
Yeah, we never say who our special guests are because we fully believe that fate will ruin everything. But we do have a guest. We do have a guest. Go to onlocationlive.com/watchforcrappens or just go to our website and the link is there. Get your tickets. November 12th, 9 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. on the West Coast. It's going to be so fun. And you can just like chat along while we're doing our show and we'll respond as best we can. And you guys can chat with each other. We're going to have a great, great time. We're really excited for our guests. We think you'll be excited by her as well. So anyway, shall we? I think that's the big news, right? Our show. We got a guest. Patreon.
Yeah, we did it. That's it. That's our big news.
Okay. Happy Halloween, everyone. See you on Monday.
See you later. We're out of here. So this show is called The Good Shepherd. This episode is called The Good Shepherd, which is really a funny way to bring Southern Charm back because good old Shep is having the Jack storyline of the season of trying to just be a better person, guys. You know, I'm sorry I had a bad year. Gosh, I'm normally such a nice person. Gosh. So we get his big redemption storyline, which I don't know that I need that. You know, I don't need every movie to be Maleficent. Okay. I love that movie. I loved watching Angelina like convince us that the witch is a good guy. I haven't watched both of those films. Loving them. Chef, you're no Maleficent, okay? You suck. Just stay sucking, okay? I don't need you to try and be a good person. And you're not a good person just because you're banging one person for more than 2 weeks, okay?
The jury's still out for me. I mean, listen, if I had to choose between Shep and Jax, I will always choose Shep, right? Like, I think that, like, there's no upside to someone like Jax. I feel like there is upside for someone like Shep. But he's going to have to do a lot of repair work. You know what's a great way to make your image look so much better? Is just bringing T-Rav back. That'll always, that fixes things a lot, you know?
Yeah, it's that like, helps everybody's image, you know?
It's like, God, like Shep is the worst person ever.
I wasn't accused of raping anybody. Yeah,
he's the worst person ever. Oh, there's T-Rav. You know, Shep's not so bad. I was thinking about it. It's not so bad.
How did Thomas Ravenel even get back on this show? What the hell kind of firing was that? It's like you're fired for being an awful person. Oh, no, come back on. Oh, you know what? And bring your white jeans. People love those.
Yeah. You know, never count out Southern Charm to put some awful people on our television. But but that's why I tune in, because I need to see the awful people so I can make fun of them. Okay. And you know what?
Sometimes,
and
thank God, I don't know that I need Thomas Ravenel. Okay, it's like Halloween, and here comes Thomas Ravenel's penis with the same costume it's always wearing, looking like a moose knuckle. Okay, I don't need your penis's Halloween costume, Thomas. Okay, get your nuts off the floor. Like, congratulations on having a big one. It doesn't count when you're 60. Okay, like your blood vessels have just given up. Okay?
I think
look
it's
at
great.
The cuff of your pant. Your balls are coming out of them. Stop.
I think it's a great tactic to get people to vote. I think it was like, if you haven't voted yet, here's a reminder why you need to vote on Tuesday. Thomas Ravenel, okay? Yeah. And that's that. So I think it's actually, I think it was a great service. That
yeah, Biden and Harris are four men in their 60s wearing underwear with their white jeans, okay? That's all you need to know. Get to the polls.
You know, shockingly, if you go back to the back catalog, you could probably hear me endorsing Thomas Ravenel when he was running for the Senate, because I like the idea of like this crazy outsider who's like, listen, he already was like, he went to jail. He had a coke problem. Like, he could be someone who's like real. I'm like, I've learned my lesson. And thank God he did not win back then.
Oh God, remember that ad they did? Oh, this show.
Oh geez. Well, let's get in, let's dive into this. It's more like bum bum bum. Bum 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 bum.
It is very, it's like
he's got COVID. He's got no taste buds.
He's got shallow breathing.
And he's not wearing a mask. Doo doo
doo. Where's your mask? Where's your mask?
Wear your mask on your face, on over your nose, and over your mouth.
Yeah, we're at that stage in Bravo where we're having to see this shit now. You know, like we're all living it. I'm still stuck in my damn house. Okay, I know everybody is like in different stages of reopening or whatever, but who knows when you're actually listening to this podcast, but the world is like, second wave, we're all, it's still really bad. Yeah, and now Bravo has run out of things. And so we're watching people shoot during COVID. And I don't know. I like things that were shot, like, I don't care if it was shot 10 years ago, like Real Housewives of Potomac, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about the latest episode of Friends on that show, and I'm fine with it. Fine with it, because
it's too real.
No one's in their mask. Yeah, it is too real.
It's too real. But I don't know. I'm holding out hope, because I actually think that watching Craig comprehend the pandemic could actually be very funny television. So speaking of which, the very first thing we see is Craig coughing and be like, yeah, I'm just reading about this crazy stuff. It's like, Craig, you have it.
Yeah. And then is he talking to the new guy? Because there's some guy with a beard that he's talking
to. I just said
to.
Beard. I said beard, saying, this is fucking my world.
Yeah, I put computer with beard guy, which actually makes no sense, but I understood it. He's like, yeah, this thing's fucking weird, man. It's fucking with my world, man. I was like, oh, no. Well, congratulations. Glad you guys found another drunk to be on this show. Calling it now. This guy's wife left him because he's a drunk. Now, do I know that? I don't. So don't sue me, anybody. Yeah. That's just my guess from looking at you, okay? I can smell you through my TV. Get a beard comb.
He has a beard and he moved to Charleston. He's drunk.
Yes.
So
he's
Austin.
Drunk. He's drunk. That guy looks like he has peanut skins. You know that when you eat a peanut and a little brown skin comes off? You know he just gets that shit in his beard.
He is literally named after a snack. Okay. How is he not a drunk? Okay. His last name is Pringle. Okay.
I know. So are you from the Pringle family, the great Pringle family who owns the pop house over there?
Are you familiar with Bernice Dorito? So then we see Austin saying,
oh, those pop chips are just nouveau. Hoping your family doesn't invite them anywhere.
People say that we're not a very diverse town, but perhaps you haven't met Manuela Tortilla. So the Tostito family is always so festive. So Austin is like, I mean, I'm watching the news and it's kind of making me depressed. I'm like, how do you think we feel watching you, Austin? How depressed have we been watching you for all these years? Look at this guy doing nothing, walking around his boxers, grabbing his boner, launching Trop Hop, and just failing upwards. How do you think that makes us feel? Okay. You have been our pandemic all this time.
Yeah. The pandemic where your mouth never stops moving even after you finish a sentence. Madison, come on, Madison. So Shep's like, are you sure you haven't been exposed? Gosh. And then, boom! The worst thing to happen to Charleston in decades. The city park is closed.
That's insane. Madison, that's insane. They closed the city park.
And then we go over to Patricia's house, and she's waving one of those wands over a package to decontaminate.
She's applying to be a TSA member, basically.
Yeah. Michael's like, ma'am, if you miss them, you'll miss some of the possible contagions. And she's like, I've dealt with plenty of germs. My ability to adapt to germs paid for this house, Michael. All right.
Gosh, some of my friends have tested positive. Not Craig. He doesn't know how to take a test.
Yeah. So then Craig is on the phone with Catherine. And he's like, Shep said two of his friends tested positive. It's like, what else is new? When have you not been on the phone with Shep? And he's like, hey, two of my friends tested positive. I mean, you could be in any part of time, and that's something that Shep could have said on the phone to you today.
I know. It could have really been about so many different things. And then Leva, who's been around a while. Now she's finally getting her moment. She's worried about her business and her city. And then he sees Shep with Danny and goes, she tested positive. And Danny goes, she tested positive? Yes.
You could hear me if I just opened this door. You are not opening that door. Keep that shut. You've given me enough, you fuck. I mean, he hadn't given me anything. Okay, he's not giving me anything.
Poor Danny. She is like, just wants to move forward in a season without medical diagnoses and any discussion about positive or negative. She just is like, let's leave the medical testing to last season. And it's like, coronavirus, do you have it? Do you have it, Danny? I heard you have it. Do you have it? You have it? She's like, no.
Please let it be a storyline that Shep gives Danny coronavirus.
Or gives coronavirus chlamydia. Somehow coronavirus winds up worse for wear after it comes on this show. And I was like, ooh.
Finally, coronavirus is taken down by a bunch of male whores in a bar.
And then we have Madison and Austin on Zoom, and she's like, you go out all night? Now I'm at risk, you fucking idiot. You're not stepping foot in this house till I know you're negative. Just kidding. You can come on over. Come on over, big guy.
And then we hear, mm-hmm. And I like that the music lady was so into that. She's like, yes, yeah. Madison, you go, mm-hmm. 6 months earlier. Horn music. I love the orchestra is out of control in this episode.
Very inspired like, by coronavirus.
Austin's getting something out of the fridge. It's like, ding, 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 ding. There's girls like doing wings across.
I know. I'm like,
he got some yogurt out of the fridge, guys.
So we see a bottle of wine on the floor. We see a cheese board that clearly has been out for several days. And guess what? It's Craig in the bathroom. So his former life of being in an adult house is gone. Or is it? Maybe it's just temporarily gone.
Yeah. And he's opening the blinds and he's at Austin's house. He's like, get up, sleepy boy. And by the way, this cast has so much coke available. What is law enforcement even doing? All the guys on this cast are like, hey, welcome to season 7.
I know. Well, we had, when we were in Charleston, our Uber driver was like a police officer, remember? And so maybe that's what the issue is. They're too busy with
their second jobs.
He had some choice words for Thomas Ravenel, by the way. So now we see Madison driving with her son Hudson. I love that, like, it feels like a lot of Madison's world revolves around New York geography. Madison, Hudson, you know, she's like, well, my mom, Fifth Ave, she has been a help in raising Hudson.
My cousin East River better leave me alone, or I'm going to take that bitch down and tell you that right now. So her son just wants a scooter, and she's like, you already got an electric scooter. What are you complaining about? He's like, I'm not complaining about nothing. Please don't hurt me. So then Catherine is at home with her kids, some new home. We haven't seen this home before. Everyone's constantly moving on this show.
This is like basically an ad for Zillow. But yeah, she's in a new home that looks like the plantation she was trapped on season two, but I guess it's more in town. I don't know. It sort of has that look.
Smaller, right?
I don't know. All I know is that her daughter has jelly on her face and needs to be tended to. So that's what's happening.
She's hugging her daughter with jelly on her face. And then we go see Danny walk her dog. And
classic Danny.
Yeah, classic Danny. And I'm always just in awe of her thigh gap. What kind of life would that be? So that's where I was left in the beginning of this episode. And then Shep's little dog, Craig, barking at him while he threatens to take a shower.
Yeah. The dog was very alarmed because it's not something he's seen before.
Yeah,
so
it's like, you're getting too close to the water. What are you doing?
And then we have Michael and Patricia, and they're trying on, they're putting tutus on the dogs because, you know, why not? They got time.
Why not? It's just another scene where Patricia might as well just be sitting around in a bra with a Benson and Hedges hanging out going, I'm rich! I'm rich as fuck! I can do whatever I want!
Patricia's been doing quarantine long before we have been, okay? Like, while we were going crazy dressing up animals and objects with tutus, she's been doing it for, like, you know, 10 years already.
Yeah. So then we go over to Austin and Craig, and they are at Austin's new house. I don't know how that happened. Only Austin could, like, totally fail in a business and then suddenly have a house.
I don't understand the upward trajectory
of Austin.
Fozzie Bear. Yeah. So Austin he's in a coffee, he's in a bathrobe that has all these coffee mugs that are sewn onto it. And then we just hear him, damn it, Craig. Did you put that stuff in the wash again last night? This is insane. It's insane right now.
And Craig is in Pat pajamas. He's in Patricia Couture pajamas, which is funny. And Austin's like, you know, if you left it there overnight, you should rewash it because it probably has mold. You just left the clothes in the washers and they probably have mold.
Oh, are you my mom? 10 months ago, I was living in a house decorated by a professional decorator and I felt like an adult. It was amazing. And then we see, like, the old house and everything, and, like, Cameron being like, Craig, look, there's no mold anywhere. Craig, you probably fixed that drip in the ceiling. Craig.
But then the plumber came over and he busted a pipe, and I can't live there until the asbestos is gone. So instead, I'm living with asbestos with highlights. Austin.
I mean, coronavirus, chlamydia, mesothelioma, this show has it all, right? So,
yeah, this show is definitely like cast by urgent care, for sure.
I feel like Craig's, like, the fact that Craig is now, like, 2 for 2 with his previous homes and, like, broken walls, it's not a good track record. Like, this is the second
Craig
time.
Craig stabbed that pipe, okay? I like that he's trying to blame the plumber.
He's lucky he didn't wind up in an antiquated device.
Yeah, so. So then he's like, dude, you left your socks in your underwear. Sorry, there was a little Tom Sandoval there.
Dude,
he's like,
dude,
yeah, Tom's up here and Craig's down here. He's like, you left your socks and underwear in the dryer. And Austin's like, well, I generally leave my socks and underwear in the dryer. And then you just hear Danny Elfman in the background like, like, they're not even doing anything, you guys.
I know. I was like, is this a thing that people do? Leave their socks and underwear in the. That's like just so you go in there and scoop out? Really?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Everything. Girl, I'll leave everything in that dryer, yes. And then if you just feel like you want it warm, if you're like, hey, you know, I want my clothes warm, you just press play again.
On your dryer stereo. Play Tina Turner.
I mean, the laundromat does get upset when you do that, but you know, fuck it.
Are you front loading or top down?
Top loading.
I feel like I feel like that technique makes more sense if you're top loading because you just
scoop
it out.
No, the washer's top. Dryer is front. Side, yeah.
Most dryers are front. Most dryers are front. Well, I don't know. It's crazy to me. I my method that I prefer is to put it all into a laundry basket and then pull from there.
My preferred method is calling somebody and saying, "Hi, it's Ronnie. Come get my laundry." Okay.
That helps too.
They come get it. And you feel very fancy. Commercials. Here comes one right now.
What if there was a place you could discover all of the world's best independent ethical brands? A platform which takes the effort out of finding sustainably produced fashion, jewelry, accessories, homeware, beauty, and gifts without compromising on quality, design, or price. Meet Wolf & Badger. Wolf & Badger delivers limited edition collections from artisans around the globe, items produced in small quantities and made to last, right to your door or to try on in stores in London and New York. Rather than framing products around trends, Wolf & Badger places emphasis on the creators and the stories behind their unique products. Their sustainability guarantees mean that not only will you be one of a handful of people to own each piece, but you'll be shaping the future world that you want to live in. Beyond five-star reviews, they've been featured in the New York Times, Harper's Bazaar, Vogue, and in Drapers, which just named them the Sustainable Retailer of the Year in 2020. Support small business and find a new way to shop. Visit wolfandbadger.com today and save 10% off your first order. Just use code STITCHER at checkout. That's STITCHER at checkout. Discover unforgettable gifts and find your new favorite designers, all at Wolf and Badger.
Okay, so then Craig is like, "Yeah, my business sewing down south is doing really well. We sell about 1,000 pillows a month, and I've been to like 25 cities doing pop-up events and pillow parties." And then we just see a picture of him like fainting back on pillows. The man loves a crab pillow.
It is like Nexium. He is like the new Craig Rainier. He's like just running through with like a sash on his, like, "Welcome to the pillow party."
He loves that crab pillow. It's one of his most popular in his line. Mm-hmm. Ramona Singer has one. I noticed on Ramona's couch, she's got a crab pillow. I would like one. Very fitting for this show.
I would like it. It is very fitting.
I met the cast of Southern Charm and came back resting on crabs.
So then we see Craig making a smoothie, which is amazing because, you know, he knows how to use a blender. And Austin is like, "Oh, did you know that Madison gave me this plant and she thought I'd kill it and it's still alive? Are you kind of impressed?" The question he's been asking for 30 years of his life. And the answer continues to be no, not impressed at all.
Yeah, that's so cute when you're in college. You're like 40. So then Austin is talking about like his stupid relationship with Madison, which I can't even believe they're faking that again this year. But here we go. Here we go, guys. He's like, "After the reunion, we decided to take a break, me, Madison, okay?" And then we see a clip of the reunion where Craig is like, "Come on, I saw you on Instagram with a bunch of dudes in Italy, Madison. You were like with tons of Italian dudes. Whoa."
Yeah. And even though they took 6 months apart, they're back together. And so both Shep and Craig can seriously just fuck the fuck off, okay? Because I don't want to have another tiff with them, okay? They can shut the fuck up.
So they talk about Catherine's story on Instagram, and we see the story, and she's like cuddling Saint, I think, in an airport or something. And then you just hear behind her, "If you vote for me, that person you like my Instagram, and then that person will like that Instagram, and all of the likes can come together in one city square. Mayor hands, mayor hands."
"Do you think that if I put a little piece of metal into my white tight pants, the TSA might touch me down there? I'm thinking about it, Catherine."
Craig is like, "Is that Thomas's voice?" And Austin's like, "Yep, sounds like it." They're like, "Yeah, I can't quit you, bro. Talk about two people who I can't quit you, bro.
I don't understand how you quit a job. I just get fired." So, Catherine.
Yeah, listen, I get that you had babies with a person. I get it, okay? But A, that was your fault. I know you were young, but it's not like you had one baby with somebody. You've now had two. So I'm kind of sick of feeling for you, okay? You've had two babies with this person, and now you're back? No. Bye. That's dead. That's dead now. Bye.
Yeah, don't go back to the toxic dump. Not only that, the woman that he had been dating in a long-term relationship said such vile things about you and did not defend, and you did not, and he did not defend you in any sort of way. That is reprehensible. But either way, so Catherine is, she's in her new house, her temporary house, the Ravenel compound. And she's there. At first, the scene seems normal. She's with the kids. She's wearing her signature pleather pants. The kids are really cute. The custody has been settled. It's 50-50 custody. And she and Thomas are getting along. And she goes, I just hope that it sticks this time. And then down the stairs, Thomas Ravenel.
And the way that they show it, it's like feet. White jeans, moose knuckle, like a close up on that fucking moose knuckle crotch,
and then, as you know, T-Ravy as it gets.
Yes, and then his he just gets more and more T-Rav as he comes down the stairs. Gross. <I know. laughs>
So Catherine's saying that she's staying with Thomas because
he allowed me to use his master bedroom, and we're not back together though.
I'm like, not back together at all. I'm sure.
Yeah, just using the master. So then Thomas gets a shot just by the fridge, like sucking on his own finger because he just stuck it into some yogurt. I mean, just fucking disgusting. Get him out of here. Why is he on my TV? Who's in fucking Homo Resources over there?
Homo Resources. So so then Thomas is like, well, you know, Kenzie's happy right now. She likes it when the two of us are together, so that way she can see exactly what sort of future she shouldn't have. She loves that.
So they start talking to the kids, like, what are you learning at school today? And Kenzie's like, we're talking about caterpillars and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm sorry, are caterpillars not fucking fascinating enough for you? Do you know what caterpillars go through in their life, young lady?
Enjoy touching the poisonous one, and then, like, you get a rash, and then it's like, well, didn't you know? Weren't you paying attention in caterpillar class? It's actually a very valuable class, young lady. Young lady.
And then Saint is learning about hawks. We're learning about hawks. Okay, guys, math. Are you only learning about animals? Everything on this show right now.
I think that Saint is at that age where they have to learn about animals that might actually pick them up and take them away somewhere. They're like, okay, kids, we're going out for recess. If you see this bird, let us know.
Grab it by the feet. Just hold on. It'll fly you somewhere safe.
And but it's Saint is actually really cute because then I guess Kenzie's like, no, I think that we're talking about outer space. I make a, you know, Kenzie in my mind talks like Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors. Hey, yeah. Mister, we're talking. Hey. We're learning about outer space, Mister.
I'm sorry, Doctor.
So Catherine's like, well, what planet are we on? And Saint's like,
Earth,
which was cute.
So then she says, I guess this is what reality would be like if we were normal. But we never were normal.
No.
And then we see former Southern Charm star charged with sexual assault of nanny.
Just that.
Children.
Minor complication in their life.
Yeah. That's not just like, hey, mommy, daddy both work late, you know?
Exactly. Like, that's what's so funny. Yeah. We just never were normal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was so young, and your dad has been accused of rape. You know, it's just, we never were normal. It's like,
modern family. Yeah, just modern family. Just 2020. So then, let's see. The kids are, like, running around like crazy, and Thomas and her sit down on the couch, and he's like, it's nice to have you here, but are we misleading the children, making them think that we're going to be back together? Since when the fuck have you cared? How many people have you moved into your house? Give me a break.
Yeah, exactly. I think the children's notions of you two having a normal family unit are long gone. Yeah. And that's probably thanks to Ashley, amongst many other people. And again, that headline we just talked about. So so Catherine's talking about how she's been getting comfortable staying at Thomas's house, and she's renovating a townhouse that was bequeathed to her. But it was also that townhouse was the last place where she was with her mother, and her mom died of breast cancer last year. And so she talks about it and how like hard that was and how sad and how it was like very, very quick, and how her mom was really her only advocate when she was going through this horrific custody, which is very, very sad. And I definitely feel for her. Anyone who's lost a parent, I feel for. Although the thing that is interesting here is she's talking about how her mom was the only advocate for her in this horrific custody situation that she had with the man who's sitting right next to you. That's back in your life.
Yes. Yes, the guy that tried to take those kids in the first place. Yes, remember that?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, now, come on. And he's doing that thing. He's like, my hand's behind my head on the couch, so I'm being sexy and thoughtful at the same time. It's just such an awkward pose, like my least favorite pose that guys do. And he's like, well, we've been through a rough patch in the past couple of years. Oh, that. Really? Yeah.
Rough patch.
Yeah, it's been quite a rough patch.
Yeah.
Remember that? Me calling the cops on you constantly and trying to get your children taken away. Whoa, that little rough patch. But, you know, it does take two to raise kids. So I was like, wow, way to try and be nice to her and offend so many people at the same time, Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. It takes two. He's like, well, I can tell that they're happy, so I feel like we're doing a good job. I'm like, maybe Catherine's doing a good job. I'm not sure about you, sir.
So yeah, that's enough. I mean, the scene ends with him just licking his lips.
You're like,
nodding.
Ugh.
Also, it's weird because on Twitter, someone said, hey, we heard that you were in Southern Charm's first episode. And he's like, not only no, but hell no. And so somebody was like, I thought you said you weren't in this, Thomas. And he's like, well, I didn't know that they were filming. Well, it was just a scene in my house. I had no idea it was going to be used on the show.
Like, I thought those cameras
were.
You're
in your best. Yeah, you're in your best moose knuckle, like, show off pant, white jeans, and you've got a microphone on, sir.
It's just a disaster. So then we go to Madison's house. It's 6:30 in the morning, and she's waking up her son, Hudson, and she's like, I always wanted a son. I feel like I'm a boy mom, you know? Can you imagine a little boy version of me? That would be hell on earth. I'm like, I can't imagine a little boy version of you. It's called every boy, every little boy I've ever seen on TV.
I'm like, that would be hell on earth. Oh, hi, handsome. Don't brush your teeth yet and make your breakfast. That is such a boy thing to do. Well, I was 20 when I was married. I had him at 22, and then we were divorced when he was 3. And I do co-parenting, so it's like 50-50 on off, 50-50 on off. Basically like my relationship.
It's basically like a light switch, you know? You know how those work, right? You turn them on, turn them off. So
and Hudson is like blow drying his hair. He's like, yeah. He's like
making like little Hudson is a child after my own heart. So and she's like, well, are you guys surprised? I mean, he is my child. He likes it as high as it can go. So I think we all see the subtext there, and I support it. But so then Madison starts talking about how hard it is being a young single mom. And there have been times when she hasn't had it together and she's left clients in the chair because she's, you know, a hairstylist to run and get Hudson and then come back. So I'm like, okay, that's okay, cool. Cool. All right. I won't go to your salon.
come over to Madison's salon. You could be there all day long, but we've got good highlights from a couple years ago.
And she's got new music. They must really love Madison in production because they give her own like Amy Winehouse jam. Yeah. It's like, she's talking about blow drying hair.
Yeah.
And then she calls Austin in the car, who's of course still in bed.
Yeah.
And she tells us, when my friends heard I was back together with Austin, they said, you fucking kidding me? And then we see a clip of Madison going, well, I heard that you, Shep, gave her, Danny, chlamydia. So what are y'all going to say about that? Because I heard chlamydia.
Poor Danny. They're just rolling that clip out about five times. It's like the new threesome clip.
They're just rolling that beautiful bean footage. And, and Austin's like, well, I don't know that I said that. I mean, maybe I said it like late night, in like a late night talk or something. And then it cuts back to her. And she's like,
yeah, it was really hard to see Austin not defend me. But, you know, we care about each other. And we just can't stop.
Defend you? What are you talking about? You were a fucking monster for that. How dare you?
So then we go over to Patricia's house where she's ringing the bell and she's like, I think I need a bigger bell. How much does that Liberty Bell cost these days? They should mark it down. It's got a crack in it.
Shappy's coming over. Do we have enough liquor in the house? That's my question.
Can we put some plastic down so his hair oil doesn't disturb this lovely couch? Thank you so much, Michael.
So here's Shep. Shep's over and looks really fresh, young, healthy. A lot of vegetables and water this guy's been drinking. No, just kidding. He looks like he just like woke up on the street.
Like I think he does look better than last season. I think that Shep does look a little degreased from last season. I actually thought also that Catherine seemed more lucid overall than we've seen her in a long time. So something weird's going on with this show. I don't know. It's very strange.
Mm-hmm. So he's making fun of her. I love the sign outside that says, beware of dog. Who's going to be afraid of these dogs?
Did you see that sign on the street? It said stop. It said stop. Oh, God. Gosh. He's just amused by
very simple dogs. I have a watchdog now, Michael. Will you get Peaches, Michael? And she brings in yet another fuzzy dog. A lot of fuzzy dogs in this family.
I like how a lot of her dogs just look like slippers.
Yeah.
It just feels like you could insert your feet into them and just walk around. And yeah, be perfectly like happy
slippers
with it.
From Dynasty. So they get bourbon sours, and he's like, one of the reasons I'm here is because I'd love to have a little shindig, and I'd love you to come.
And she's like, well, let me stall on that decision because the bourbon sours are here. Look, you have a chinoiserie straw, not that you would know, simpleton. All right, there, stick it in your mouth.
Okay, well, this is a Life is Good party. I want it to be funky and not like a foxtrot, because I'm just not that kind of a guy. It's like, are you going to have a theme, Shepard? I was thinking Dumb and Dumber.
Well, that would certainly be applicable.
Who are you inviting? He's like, well, you're going to meet Taylor, my girlfriend. Are you inviting Madison?
You're inviting a regular artisan, some sort of craft worker, a tailor? No, her name is Taylor. Oh, all right, all right.
So many tradespeople in one party, Shep.
Well, I heard she's very nice. Yeah, so she's like, I invited Madison. He's like, well, yeah. Well, I think they make it seem like, oh, gosh, I hate Madison. I hate Madison. He goes, of course.
I don't want enemies. It brings me no joy to have strife. And we see the clip of him fighting with Madison where he's like, well, you know what? Sticks and stones may break my bones. She's like, well, where's the apparently hurt you? Because look at you, hurt. Hurt my words. Look at you, Mr. Hurt My Words.
You know, the thing is with strife, it's like that old saying, have we not all, amidst life's petty strife, some pure idea of a noble life that once seemed possible? Thank you.
He's like, look, Austin's stuck with her, so I have to respect my friend and the elephant in the room. You have to respect the elephant or you fight the elephant.
Oh, we're talking about the elephants in the room. $30,000 for on the mantle.
Oh yeah,
in season 3,
that elephant was very expensive, Shepard.
Please don't fight it, and please don't dance with it either. Yeah. Sorry, you were saying about the real elephant in the room.
And he's like, well, I want inclusivity. She's like, yeah, well, you used to be that way, but in the past months, you've had just an angry jerk moment or two.
I love the idea of inclusivity being broached on this show. So
yeah, and it means like being nice to another white girl. Exactly. That's what it actually means.
That's what a charm it means. Inclusivity means being open and welcome to a white girl who may have made another white girl get upset.
It means like inviting the other white girl that you're being misogynistic towards to a party.
Wow. Well, the white girl who is a single mother. So we encourage all sorts of diversity of white girls here.
Wow, did you see Southern Charm this year? It's so inclusive. Someone was finally nice to the hot blonde girl. Crazy.
So inclusive. It was so inclusive.
So he's like, sometimes I'm combative and I want to win, but you know what? When you just want to win all the time, guess who wins? Nobody.
Except for me. But that's because I was built into a system where I was going to win just by being born into it. Anyway, you know, the thing is that sometimes I can lash out. And last year it got so out of place, I really behaved like a dumbass. And then we see, of course, the infamous IG video where he is mocking a homeless person.
Yeah, her can poor homeless lady. Look at your cans. Ooh. But now I'm going to therapy. No.
Yeah.
There are some things that therapy can't fix, okay? So stop mocking homeless people. How about that? Let's start there, okay?
Well, because he goes, well, I started talking to a therapist, and she's amazing. And Patricia just goes, Like, don't try to fool me, Shepard.
Well, like, both... Don't try to fool me, but also therapy is gross. You know, it's like that tone was like, a therapist, really?
Yeah, there's a lot of different tones going on there. I mean, I do think therapy can fix a lot of things.
It was one tone, but it was like a bell chime chorus at the same time, you know?
Bell chime. It's a very orchestral recap.
Yeah. It was a one tone version of dong, 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 dong,
Danny
dong,
Elfman, dong, basically. Dong, 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 dong. Yeah. So so he's like, listen, Garsh, I just want to slow the process of becoming an angry old man. I mean, it's not who I am and it's not who I want to be, but I was showing signs of it. You know, like when I mocked a homeless lady on a national platform. Yeah. So, Garsh, I'm just trying to self-examine and improve.
Oh, God. And he's getting the full-on sad music now. Now he's got sad orchestra while he gives his big Jack speech. It's like,
yeah.
Ba-ba-da!
I know this is like hard to say, but I do feel like Shep has the potential to at least change his ways somewhat compared to someone like Jax. Like Jax will never change. I feel like Jax is, again, no upside whatsoever. I think Shep there could be some potential to like get his shit together. I think he's like self-aware. I think the difference is I think that Shep is very smart, whereas Jax is not very smart.
Yes.
So I'd like to think that because Shep is smart, he like may have like the ability to have some sort of self-awareness and reflection.
Well, Shep is smart enough to learn what's offensive. That may be a false
association.
I think he's smart enough to learn what's offensive and change the way he's talking, but not the way he is necessarily, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you never want – I always say I don't want terrible people to go to therapy because it just teaches them how to be better sociopaths, you know? It's like, oh, now I can be more acceptable in my dickishness.
Right. Well, you know, listen, we're – like, I'm an awful person, you know?
No, you're not.
So maybe I just feel it. Maybe I'm just like, aw. So
an awful person. So he's like, well, we all need to self-examine and improve. And Patricia's like, no, I'm beyond that. Respect. So then it's a rainy day. And Shep is driving and he calls Craig, who's like got a big mustache in his phone picture.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? Craig's like, oh, I'm good. Just sitting on my porch swing, contemplating life. It's like, oh, sounds like a Cialis commercial. I said that because I'm in therapy now.
Who's Alice and how do I see her?
No, Craig. I'm having a Dumb and Dumber party. And Craig's like, did you invite Cam? Because something's stressing her out, I think. Like, I don't know what it is, but something stressed. I don't know. I don't know if you have Instagram, but if you did, maybe you'd know that something is totally stressing her out right now.
And we find out that Cam hasn't been hanging out a lot because last year really left a bad taste in her mouth. I was like, no, I think that she's... I mean, like, if last year was the year that left a bad taste in her mouth, I'm not sure about that. I mean, there have been a lot of years that should have left a bad taste in her mouth. I think that she's basically, there's rumors about her boo, and she's probably not the type that wants to indulge that. She's also now, like, full-on mommy, and so she's like, my life is about my children now. So, you know, like, she was half out the door last season anyway.
Well, also, all of her seasons have been bashing Catherine. And then Catherine had her redemption season where she had to, like, be nice to Catherine. And so she was probably just like, fuck this, you know? I'm out of here.
Well, there's also, like, you know, Cameron Chelsea and Naomi all are gone, and they all were like, we're leaving. And at the time, I was like, good for them. They shouldn't be like dealing with all these assholes. But then part of me is also like, or maybe they were just fired. There's also potential they just got fired because they actually, none of them had anything going on in their storylines.
Yeah, because it was released a long time ago that they were, that Naomi and Chelsea were fired. They were let go from the show. At least this is how I'm remembering it.
Yeah.
And then the Cameron stuff happened way later. And then they came out and were like, we're quitting too in solidarity. And I was like, I think two of you were fired, but
yeah,
I'm not really sure. And then today I did my research. In other words, I laid around in bed and read Instagram. But I was trying to find stories that said they were fired, but I couldn't find any. So I don't know if that was in my head or what.
All I know is Naomi did not go on the cast trip last year. So that's never a good sign. But anyway, so Shep is like, gosh, I sympathize. I didn't like what happened last year either. That left a bad taste in my mouth. But that was also because I haven't brushed my teeth in about 6 months.
Yeah, and the clip we see of the bad taste in her mouth is the chlamydia rumors, which, yeah, of course it left a bad taste in your mouth. I'm passing around chlamydia, Shep. And so she and Cameron crying and going, if that was spread about me, I would be mortified.
Like, can you stop shaming people who get chlamydia? It's a fully treatable thing. So, like, stop making it seem like people who've had chlamydia are like just like these vile pariahs that like you would just never ever want to be. I mean, if we're crying out loud, it's a take a pill.
People fuck, guys. Okay?
It's okay. People fuck. It's okay. It's you know, people get chlamydia. Koalas get chlamydia. Okay, so if it's okay, if we can look at a koala with a chlamydia and still find it cute and adorable, can't you treat your fellow friends that way too?
Yeah, you shouldn't be ashamed of chlamydia. You should be ashamed of banging Shep. I mean, that's disgusting, okay? Shep dumb is worse idiot. Than chlamydia.
Dumb idiot. I've got dumb idiot. So, so anyway, speaking of which, so oh, Craig
so
goes...
stupid. I love it.
So Craig goes and meets up with Catherine at this bar, and he's like, I need to get my nails done. And they start talking about what he's going to get done and everything. And
yeah,
so
she's like, are you going to do jail or your S&S? And he's like, S&S. She goes, oh my God, you know what that is? I love it.
What is S&S? I don't know.
I have no idea. I don't even know if it is S&S. That's what I wrote down, but I don't fucking know. Have you seen my nails? Like, it's an app. My nails are basically just like
I need to cut mine.
Things that I kind of bite off a little bit to clean my teeth. Okay, it's the only reason. Or to open a Diet Coke can. Like, why else do we even need them?
S&S is probably the proprietary nail polish brand at what's the name of the store that other Madison is like the heir to?
Gwyn's.
So
she orders a bourbon and Coca-Cola. She's like, it's happy hour, and then she tells us, "I went to rehab for weed. That's all." And when I first got back from rehab, I couldn't even go out because people would just look at me like, oh my God, she's off the wagon. But I'm at the point now where if I order a drink, I order a drink and it's no one's business. Where is this? You're right that her energy is totally different. Like
her energy is like, it's because like in the past, like her interviews will sometimes be more animated, but then in the show, she'll be like, I'm sad. Hi. But she's just like, hey, I'm Catherine. I'm blah, 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 blah. Which I actually am like, I'm happy for because whatever it was that was like going on seems to be like that's done. So for now, I should say, because nothing is ever done on this show. But so now Craig is, they're talking about Craig's Shep's party. And Craig is like, they're talking about whether or not they're going to dress up. And he's like, I'm going to dress up. I'm a participator.
And she's like, who's this Taylor girl? I haven't met her. And he's like, oh, it's Shep's girlfriend. And then they get their food, boiled peanuts and cheese plates. And, oh, God, watching these thin people eat on the show.
Miss that Charleston food. It was so good. I know. It was so good.
The food was really, really good there.
Oh.
So he's like, you know, well, look, all right, let's just talk shit now, all right? Like, you know that I'm getting SNS. That's all I needed to tell you. So let's talk shit. So, you know, I cut Shep off for months. I was like, you've got an attitude problem. It's not even a drinking problem. You're just an asshole. And she's like, yeah, he was a dick to me. But when he sees me, he's like, hey, Catherine, what's up?
Isn't this show called Southern Charm? Isn't that like part of what the contract is? So, in the South, we're friendly to each other, right? Isn't that the whole thing?
Yeah, bless his heart. So he's like, yeah, he's seeing a therapist. He's dating this new girl. And I mean, I don't want to say he's a good person. He's still Shep, but, you know, he's still alive. So there's that. So anyway, I just hope Cam comes to the party. And Catherine's like, what's up with her? And he's like, well, I think that, you know, she just needs to have a little fun because she's been really sad. And Catherine's like, oh, yeah, mom guilt's a real thing. So I get it.
Yeah. And then Craig kind of
playing it coy here, you know, like,
well. Yeah. Yeah. And so then Craig is like, yeah, even Jason wants her to go out and have some fun time. Yeah. She's like, oh, well, that's funny. It's funny that he'd want her to be out of the house because I heard some shit. I heard that Jason is having an affair.
Oh my god. And he's like, what? From who? Because if it's from Madison, it's bullshit. That's absurd. That is not true. She's like, Craig. He's like, nope. He's like, you can't just talk shit like that. And she's like, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Which, what a choice. What an odd choice for her to do that.
Yeah.
It's like getting revenge way too long after, you know, like if this was two seasons ago and you're like, well, her husband's cheating, I would get it. But what are you doing?
Well, there is also maybe this is a thing where Cameron was supposed to be filming. And, you know, remember Jason finally showed up on camera, which, you know, he's never wanted to be on this show. He's never been part of the show. He finally shows up on camera. And then it's happening on the show. And you know that Jason was probably like, see, I told you I show up on that show. And the moment I show up on that show, they start dragging me through the mud. And this is all your fault. Da, 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 da. And he probably pressured her to leave the show instead of dealing with this. That's my new theory as of right now. But anyway, I like Craig when he goes, I like gossiping as much as the next person. I mean, I was most dramatic. That was my superlative in high school. Can't you see? Look how dramatic I am right now.
But this shit is dark. And she's like, whatever. And he's stressing out, like, what is she doing? You know, now I'm in the scene, this like outing Cameron's whatever bullshit. And so I look this up on the internet for nap time. And this lady is a makeup artist or something in Charleston and said she's never even met the guy. And, you know, she's broke. She's just cut me to the core. Something like that. Like, it's rocked me to my core. Because now she's, you know, in national media being called all sorts of names and stuff. So everyone's denying it. And they're just saying that Catherine's just making this up to get back at Cameron.
I don't know. Oh, so it is just, like, very delayed.
Yes, because Cameron went on. Naomi went on Instagram and was like, that's why all of us are quitting this show. We're not into this. And Catherine, you should be ashamed of yourself for this and lots of other things.
Yeah. Well, Catherine is, well, I feel like we will be, we will probably have the many choice words for Catherine later this season. That's for sure. Looking forward to that.
She's sure setting it off. So he's stressing out. So he goes to the bathroom. He's like, what the fuck? So he leaves. And then she just looks at the camera and it goes, ding, while she shrugs.
She's like, I'm back. So now we go to see Shep with Taylor and little Craig the dog, and like, gosh, little Craig needs a bath. Oh, so here's how I met Taylor. I was at Sullivan's Island, and I saw two girls at home team, and I was like, who's that? Gosh, she looks poor. But then she was hot too, so I was like, gosh, you want to hang out? And here we are, washing a dog.
Yeah, she lied to me, and she told me that her specialty was a marine biologist, and her specialty was shark sex, and I started to grill her because I sort of know about shark sex.
She's actually a dental assistant. These are the gems we would have gotten if we had Shep's relationship season two.
Yeah. So she's modeling one of his stupid flag hats. And, you know, they're just like a cute little couple. He got her dry cleaning. She washes the dog with him. Look, I'm so happy. Everything's great.
Oh, I'm a good person now. So then we go to Madison's house where she's getting dressed with Austin. And he's like, there's like a steamer and he's like trying to steam his shirt. He's like, this won't work. I can't get this to work. Madison, it's insane right now. This steamer doesn't even work, Madison.
And she's trying on like the fanciest clothes to wear to the Dumb and Dumber party. She comes out in like a blue ball gown. She's like, what do you think of this? And he's like, oh, it reminds me of Mulan. Like a geisha princess. It's like, what? Have you even seen Mulan?
I
was like,
I have never seen Mulan, but even I know that that's totally not accurate whatsoever. Oh, it reminds me of Aladdin, the story of a Wall Street stockbroker who gets a cocaine addiction, right?
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not it.
I just said Mulan because Shep said that we're inclusive now, so.
So then her second look is like a sequined, like a black sequined dress with a cowboy hat. So that's what she's going with. And Madison's like, well, you know, if I can forgive someone for a threesome video, as like, roll the footage. It's like,
yeah.
Madison, Madison, you're insane right now.
I'm giving you the beautiful bean footage music.
Oh, okay. Madison, you're being a crazy person. Madison, you're crazy. You're a crazy person.
You're nuts right now, Madison.
You're nuts. I can forgive someone for calling me white trash. That's basically her point. She's forgiven Shep.
So Madison calls Catherine, and they talk about what they're wearing, and Danny's there, and rah, rah, rah. Nothing really happens.
Yeah.
So now now it's time for the party.
Ooh. Well, 3 hours until the party, but first, Craig goes and visits Leva, and then they have this, they like hug and everything, and then they have this like very hastily edited scene. It's like their scene is like a montage where he's like, Catherine told me Jason's having an affair, and Leva's like, that's a bold-faced lie. I'm gonna eviscerate her. I'm gonna chop off her head. She's terrible. This is some bullshit. This is bullshit. This is the best man I ever knew. It's like,
yeah, she's like, that is a miserable Catherine move. Did she come with receipts? No, of course not. He's like, yeah, but why would she say something like that? She's like, resentment, because back in the day, Cam wasn't nice to her. And then we get a nice long package of Cameron hating on Catherine left and right.
Yes.
And she's like, maybe there's some jealousy that she's in a happy relationship and has a nice, calm family and, you know, everything's going okay. And he's like, so you think it's old resentment? And she's like, yes, she just needs drama to feel alive. Now, that's my question, too. So, Catherine, are we thinking that Catherine just made this up out of nowhere?
I don't, honestly.
This is crazy.
Nothing makes sense. Everything that Catherine does not make sense to me. Like, it used to sort of make sense, but now it doesn't make sense whatsoever. And I'm just going to sit and watch and see where it happens.
Smart. So then he spits on himself.
By the way, it probably came from Thomas Ravenel, if you really think about it.
Yes, that's what it sounds like, right?
It's right there. It's right there. And I believe that Thomas Ravenel would make it up and then tell Catherine, and then she would be like, I heard that there's an affair. You know?
Yeah, so Craig's like, well, I guess it just all comes full circle. He's got, like, spit on his face. And Leva's like, well, how am I supposed to act tonight? I'm about to dead dot on her.
It's like, okay, Leva. So she got all of 30 seconds. And now it's nighttime. And they are like, I guess Shep and Taylor arrive at the venue. And he's like, we're here, honey. Honey, bunches of votes. Look, I'm a good person now. Oh.
If you don't believe me, look what I'm about to say. Hey, you didn't let me open your door for you and do the whole rigmarole. Look, I mentioned opening a door for a lady, and I said rigmarole. What kind of horrible person could I possibly be?
Yeah, let's go into my inclusive party, where inclusivity means we put all the black people on stage to perform for all us, the white people.
I'm including dumb people and dumber people. Whoa! Oh. So the party planner's like, oh, well, I hope everything's okay. We've got some oysters over there, some potato cakes, and, of course, two cute girls to serve it. He's like, what? I don't know why she said two cute girls. That means nothing to me.
Oh, and then we have, so the Madison and Austin show up, and then there's like this really bizarre side plot that I got actually very invested into. There's a guy named Peter who kind of looks like what you would think a straight version of Pete Buttigieg would wind up as, you know? And
oh my
Peter's,
God, he does have a Buttigieg kind of look to him.
And they're both named Pete. So he's there with Liz, and Pete's there with Liz, that's his girlfriend, and so Shep, and then we just see them. We're like, okay, cool.
Yeah, they're like, hi, Liz and Pete. And they're like, oh, hello. And then the camera just stays on them looking like.
I was like, why are we still with Liz and Pete? Like, he's just like randos, right?
And they were too. They're like, why are the cameras just staying on us? They're looking like really awkward. And she looks like she's getting really pissed. And then we see them further away. Like, I guess she pulls him away. And we just see her like telling him off.
Well, yeah, because we see Madison and Shep is talking to Madison and he's like, what are you drinking? She's like, tequila. I think that's what we're going to stick to. And then Shep's like, oh, y'all are sticking to something. And then you just see Peter and Liz just like fighting. It's like, what? What's happening? What's going on? Why do we keep cutting to Peter and Liz and why are they fighting?
Shep's like, fighting? Oh my gosh, is he in trouble or something? So he walks up to them and he's like, so what happened? And then he tells us, so Peter and Madison had a thing. Whoops. Typical set. And this is such a Jax move too. Like, look at what a good person I am this season. Oh. Sorry, just set up Madison again. Whoops.
And poor Liz. Poor Liz doesn't understand how TV works. She's like, I just don't want people to hear about this. Do you realize? I don't want. And Peter's like, I haven't said words. I haven't said anything. He's like, and Liz is like, I just don't want people to know about this. I don't want people to know about it. I'm like, Liz, you are creating a scene that's going to be
you
on TV.
You currently have cameras on you and a mic. I mean, we hear her and she's like, all I'm saying is, come on, it's no big deal, it's not the end of the world, you're really thinking too much of this, while he brings his mic over there to get everything that they're saying. I mean, this guy is such an ass. Liz, so then the producer asks him, so you invited them to fuck with Madison, right? Like, you invited this couple. And he's like, no, what, of course, huh? Didn't you hear me say rigmarole earlier?
It's an inclusive party. I want to invite everyone who has slept with Madison. I'm including them all.
Oh, my God. And he says that, no, last year he planned it to make Madison look stupid. But this year, he's like, well, I just didn't even think about it. I mean, Peter's all of our friends. It just didn't cross my mind that there would be a problem.
He's all of our friends. And for some people, he's an even closer friend. A really, really, really close friend. That's all Garsh.
God. And so Austin sees it. And he's not really sure what's going on. So he just tells Madison, so how are things going with Shep? She's like, great. But she tells us, you know, I know right when I see Peter that Shep hadn't changed one bit and he's still a little bitch. But hey, if he wants to entertain a one-night stand I had when I was single, then hey, that's on him.
So then Whitney and Patricia arrive. And so Taylor gets to meet Patricia and she's like, now, Taylor, now let me ask you a question. What snack chip are you the scion to? What's your last name? Are you a Ruffle? Are you a Lay's? You're not related to a chip of any sort? Okay. All right.
Uh-oh. I sense a Chex Mix descendant.
I'm sorry. I know your last name is Wetzel, but we do not accept pretzels in this circle.
So Danny and Madison, Gwen's Madison, which is going to get very confusing. So
Below
I'm
Deck
just going to call her Gwen's.
Madison, who was on one of the below, was she on Sailing Yacht or was she on Below Deck Regular? I can't even remember at this point.
Regular.
But she was on. Yeah, she I was think. On with a very demanding group of people who wanted vegan food. I seem to they were just or lactose. Yeah. And they were like
she
terrible.
Was the one that was with that girl who's like, I'm a chef. So
yes, that's
I'm here
right.
to check on everything because chef to chef.
That's like, right. That was
how about chef to chef? Go fuck yourself or whatever.
That's right. The brew season.
Yeah,
that's appropriate. So
yeah, so they come in. Catherine says, you know, everybody's saying hi or whatever, and then Taylor Craig. Sees Craig and she's like, "Oh, Craig, your button." He's like, "It's missing. I couldn't find my sewing kit."
Craig, this is your brand now. How do you How do you show up someplace with a missing button? How do you not find your sewing kit? It's literally your job.
And then we meet a really gross hairy guy who comes in. Yeah. And he's the new guy. Congratulations.
John Pringle.
John Pringle. And Patricia's like, he's a good looking guy for a Pringle descendant.
Catherine already has her eye on him. And she's like, And we find out that Shep and John went to school together. So they did that. And Patricia's like, now, John Pringle, I want to know if you're related to any of the Pringles that used to have a house on the Battery. I'm like, is Patricia talking about real people in real places, or is she just looking at objects around the room? Are you the Pringle from the Battery that was next to the Staples?
Are you the Pringle from the Flashlight Philips Hue?
Are you from you are the Pringle from the Leaves to Live on the Scissors next to bulletin board?
And he's like, yeah, that was my grandfather Pringle. And Shep is like, yeah, who's he telling? I think he's telling Catherine this. He's like, yeah, he has two sons and his ex lives in San Diego now, and he just moved back. You know, he's always been that guy that you worry about leaving around your girlfriend, you know. And he meets Madison. That's not a charming
thing to say, by the way. Also, he was raised in a house that was haunted by Confederate soldier ghosts. Like, even the ghosts on the show are kind of racist. Wow.
Did he say that?
Yeah, because Patricia was like, she's like, oh, yeah, the Pringles from the house on Battery. He's like, yeah, that was my grandfather's house. It was, people said it was haunted with Confederate soldiers. It's like, of course on this show we got Confederate soldier ghosts.
Oh my God. So then he meets Madison and, you know, she's like, ha, dun, dun. They look like they're flirting and it's like, ding, while she sips and Austin's all uncomfortable. He's like, I just got my hair highlight for this.
He's like, oh, I've heard a lot about you. I heard you you womanize, you're kind of messy, and you have money, but basically you're just kind of like a slob. So welcome to the crew.
Yeah, you're going to fit right in. So then Patricia's telling Whitney, who's also there, Heather. She's like, where's the food? He's like, oh, I think they're bringing trays. And she's like, you can't have a party, serve liquor, and not serve food. I have to throw a party myself to get decent food. Not my kind of party.
Mm-hmm. So I think she and Whitney leave or something like that. Maybe not. But then Catherine goes up, and of course she introduces herself to John Pringle. And Patricia's still there, because then she's trying to really sell John Pringle to Madison. And she's like, well, I was talking to John Pringle of the Pringles family. He has two children, sort of snack-sized. And, you know, your children could play with his children. You know what I'm saying?
I hope they're comfortable in tubes. And then she tells us Madison acts like a grown-up and Austin acts like a child. I think she deserves better. Did I say that? I don't know, because I'm currently starving to death.
Yeah. She goes, she needs someone who's successful and ambitious and not just a frat boy. I'm like, okay, well, where is that person? Is he coming to the party?
So Madison's like, well, looks like Catherine just ran over there to snap him up. It's like, yeah, I guess so. So Catherine is talking to this guy now, and she's like, so what do you do with yourself? I'm a talking penny. It's like, less bronzer, please. Oh, my God, you look like something somebody threw in a fountain for good luck. God.
He's like, well, I do energy derivatives, and I also play the guitar. That's like my thing. And then we see a video of him just being like super David Gray-ish. He's like, daddy knows he'll be with her to the very days of his final breath is draw. Wow.
It was all for you. It was all for you. It was all for... Please stop.
Okay, Curtis.
Please.
Okay, relax.
Please stop. Go make some other kind of energy out of energy, or whatever energy derivatives means. Just do that.
Butterfly kisses are walking in Memphis. I'm like, I don't need this type of music.
And then he's just chugging his drink down. So then I just wrote the lighting in this party. This, like, Philips Hue has really done a good job of selling, I have to say. There's just colored lights everywhere. So then
Charleston,
John,
by the way, Southern Charm has never found a party they couldn't light with full-on, full-bright fluorescent bulbs. Yes. Like, every single party's like...
yeah. So he's still talking to Catherine. And is he? Oh, no. He's talking
to
Madison.
Now he's talking to Madison.
Yeah. And he's like, so Pat told me you have a son. Here's what I got to say about that. It's all for your son. It's all for your son.
The cat's in the cradle and the cradle has beer. I like to use a cradle for cats and beer.
And this is where I wrote, he's a drunk. Okay, and then soft, sweet jazz is playing, and Catherine's talking to Craig. And he's like, she goes, so Cam texted me. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I had to. I mean, I told Leva, and then I guess Leva texted her. And she's like, well, thanks for being honest about it.
Yeah, and the text was like, why are you telling people that Jason is cheating on me on camera? I'm so confused. And Catherine's response was, hey, girl. Yeah,
hey,
it's been
girl.
Going around. Hey, girl, it's been going around. Catherine, give me a break. Be a good human being. I am one. Sorry.
Yeah, she's like, she makes one of her Catherine faces. She's like, I am one. Sorry, rumors in Charleston. And she just rolls her eyes and puts down the phone.
Yeah. So then Catherine's basically like, well, you know what? Cameron had no problem burning my house down, so whatever.
Yeah, again, if this was 2 years ago, maybe, okay? Yeah. But what are you doing? What are you doing? And so she tells us, I don't give a shit what she thinks. I mean, she literally hurt me to my core by the meanest, nastiest things you could say about someone. So, you know, anyone who thinks Cam is just this guy's girl, it's got this lily white smile and perfect teeth, she's an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, when she pulled out the Lily Pulitzer, I was like, damn, Catherine got really savage all of a sudden. And, God, I really...
Wait, what did she say? I wrote it down wrong. What did she say?
She said, so for everyone who thinks that Cam's this guy's girl that's wearing Lily Pulitzer with a big old smile and perfect teeth, she's an asshole.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That makes more sense.
Well, no, yours worked as well. They both make sense. But so the Lily Pulitzer thing made it even more savage.
I don't know what she's doing. That's crazy. And also Craig said in interviews, I think I was reading it on the cheat sheet, that she was supposed, because Cameron is saying, I didn't quit because of the husband rumors. I had already quit a long time ago. And he was like, no, she was scheduled to film with me. And, you know, she heard this and refused to show up to film. So who really knows? But that's...
Maybe she'd quit and she was going to be like a friend of or something like that, which actually makes the most sense. But... Yeah, I mean, this is going to be an interesting season for sure, But I think we're going to have fun making fun of it, because we always do.
Well, it's a shame, because this would have been a really, really fun season if they were, like, actually going at it. Because in the past, they haven't really gone at it. They've done it, like, in the Southern way. You know, Catherine talks to everybody else about it and gets her excluded from everything. And then Catherine kind of cries about it. They haven't really gone at it on the show. So that would have been really fun to watch. So thanks for robbing us of that.
Yeah.
Okay? Thanks.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what's in store for us next week. And the trailer is really intense. I mean, the trailer is like... Damn. It looks like this is a show that has been generally polite about things, and it looks like they are broaching a lot of the controversies that we read about in the off season, which I'm glad about, and I'm interested to see how they handle it. So I'm reserving judgment. And you know, we're just gonna be here enjoying Halloween.
I do know that in this preview, when Madison dumps Austin, she's like, we are going to take a break. And he's like, are you serious right now? It's like scratching.
He would be doing that. He would be scratching his armpit while being, are you serious? He always has to be using his hand on some part of his body. Yeah. Are you serious right now?
Oh, so funny.
Seriously.
And that brings us to the end of Southern Charm. We are going to be doing our live show for the season premiere of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That's November 12th. Get your tickets. You can find the ticket link on watchwhatcrappens.com. That's On Location Live facebook.com/watchwhatcrapins, I believe. But you can also find the link at Watch What Crapins. You can see this video or any of our other videos over on patreon.com/watchwhatcrapins. And we'll talk to you next week. You guys have an amazing Halloween-y.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crapins would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lordess, the Lordess of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.